So at this time, Tony, come on up here and introduce yourself and what you're doing, and I enjoy being with you.
Thanks, Pastor
Praise
Jana.
God.
Thank you so much. Good, Pastor Jana. Good hand of appreciation. Pastor Jan and Sue, we love them. And Pastor Jan, I forgot to tell you this on the way. Rick Renner told me to tell you hello this morning. He and I were texting by Skype, and I told him where I was, and he said, tell you that he loves you guys. So it's so good to be with you. I always enjoy my time here in Tacoma. I see some Seattle Seahawks stuff, and I see some blue and fluorescent green and all that type of thing. Pastor Jan, in that new book called Dream Team, we have an entire chapter dedicated to the 12th man. So I got really inspired by the Seattle Seahawks fans last year. And it was while I was writing that book, and it was on teamwork and the role that everybody plays. And I did a whole chapter on the 12th man. It's on encouragement and support and that type of thing. So anyway, thank you, Pastor Jan, for the privilege of being with you. Before I get into my lesson, how many of you know that kids, how many of you remember Art Linkletter? And kids say the darndest things. He always had, there was a Sunday school teacher who had taught children for many years, and she would always have the kids write out something about the Bible lessons that she had given in Sunday school. And here's a collection of some of the things that kids wrote. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day, but a ball of fire by night. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth commandment is to humor your father and mother. Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. David fought with the Finkelsteins, a race of people who lived in biblical times. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. When the three wise guys from the east side arrived, they found Jesus in the manger. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which says to do one to others before they do one to you. He also explained, a man doth not live by sweat alone. The people who followed the Lord were called the 12 decibels. The epistles were the wives of the apostles. One of the opossums was St. Matthew, who was also a taxi man. And then here's the final one that she shared. A Christian should only have one spouse. That is called monotony. Well, my prayer for this morning is that you hear more clearly than they heard. How many of you know sometimes people miss something and kind of distort it and don't get it quite right? Let's pray seriously before we jump into this. Father, it is a privilege to be your children. It's a privilege to be cleansed and made new because of the blood of Jesus and the regenerating mercy of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're thankful that we're new creatures in Christ today. And we're thankful, Lord, not just that we belong to you, but that we belong to one another. We are the family of God and we belong together. We care for one another. And Lord, we thank you that today what we receive from your word is not only going to help us be stronger and richer richer in you, but Lord, it's going to give us an overflow from which we can minister to others and encourage and bless others. Lord, you said we were the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that, Lord, we are ambassadors for you in this earth. So, Father, help us to partake fully, deeply, profoundly, powerfully from you, from your word and your spirit. Thank you for helping us be transformed by all that we receive, and to emanate and to release what we have received into the earth to bless others. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to share with you this morning some thoughts that we're just going to simply call. And whenever we get done this morning, we're just going to pick right up tonight at the same place. We're going to talk today about strength for the journey. Strength for the journey. How many of you know that our walk with God is in fact a journey? It's not just an event. And how, I can look back in my life and I can see certain key moments, certain strategic events when God really did seem to be very real. He expressed himself in a dramatic, significant way. And for that particular moment, God was so ultra real. But I've also found that in the journey that we don't always have those spiritual highs every moment of every day. How many of you have found that to be true? And so we thank God for those landmark events. But we also have to understand that Christianity is more than just a single event or a few events in our lifetime. Our walk with God is a journey that involves many different types of experiences and all that. But thank God, no matter what we experience, His Word is always true. His presence, even if we don't feel His presence at a particular moment in time, we have a promise of His presence in our life. And so we can lean, we can rely, we can trust in Him and see over the course of our journey that God has been, is, and will continue to be faithful to us. I want you to know this. The Bible says, He who began a good work in you will perform it, or will perfect it, until the day of Christ Jesus. So I want you to know today that God is not finished with you yet. God is the author and the finisher of your faith, and He's not going to abandon you halfway through this process. I want to talk to you about strength for the journey. I'll tell you one thing I've learned. I've learned that the world wants to wear us down. Life, I'm not talking about the life of God, but I'm talking about existence on this earth. There will be many, many different opportunities that you and I will have to get worn down, to get pulled seemingly in different directions, to be stretched, to be pressured, to face situations that can seem overwhelming, to have certain situations that appear to be, there's so much that seems to be out of our control, that if we're not careful, we ourselves can spin out of control. Circumstances, difficult people, delays, all these things can be wearing on a believer. Fear can drain a believer. I was just enjoying the worship with you all and just remembering the verse in Nehemiah that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we stay in regular communion with God, and when we enjoy these impartations that come, when we get together and soak in the Word of God and get saturated with the Holy Spirit, it just reminds us that we really have to guard and protect our joy and our peace. Because Satan is a thief. He will rob us of any of these things that he can, because he understands the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if he can distract us and get us away from our joy and our peace and our confidence and our hope, then he can cause us to be walking far less at a far lower level than what we should. I want us to turn in our Bibles, and I'm going to be reading mostly today from the New King James Version, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. There is a great reminder here, a great reminder for us. And what are we talking about today? We're talking about having strength for the journey. And I don't know where you were when you came in here this morning, but I believe that when you leave today, you're going to be walking at a higher level. I believe you're going to be walking with more of a spring in your step, because we're going to be reminded about how big, how awesome, and how wonderful our God is. And maybe you've been looking at circumstances lately, and you've been seeing circumstances looking big. You've been seeing things that look hopeless in your mind. But I want you to know, we have a God of hope. We have a God of confidence. And we're going to get just refreshed in reminding ourselves about how big, how wonderful, how faithful our God is. God asks a question through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? I mean, don't you know this? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Anybody in here today, walk in here, and you've been struggling with some weakness this week? You've been sensing a drain, a fatigue, maybe physically, maybe emotionally. You've just been feeling overwhelmed with some weakness. You don't need to be ashamed of that. You need to lift up your head and be glad, because God gives power to the weak. Now we have to be careful against pride, because pride says, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm just great all the time. I never struggle. I never have any problems." Well, listen, we need to understand this. D.L. Moody said this: God sends no one away empty, except for the person who is full of himself. So if you feel like you have to put on a front for other people, you don't need to put on a front for God. If you're struggling with some area, let's get our hearts wide open to God and say, "God," how many of you remember the old hymn, "I need you, Lord, I need you, every hour I need you"? I'm not here today because I'm strong. I'm here today because I'm weak. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because when I recognize I'm weak in myself, I'm incapable in myself, then I can look to the one who gives me the strength, who gives me the power, who gives me the capability. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Listen, this isn't just words. God makes these words real. God's ready to back these words up. He's ready to back these words up in our lives today. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, even the young folks, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord... I looked up that word "wait." What does that mean? You sit around and look at your watch and I'm waiting for you to do it. That word "wait" in the Hebrew, where I read it, it means to bind together by twisting. And the only, I know this is a modern metaphor, but the only picture I got in my mind, you know the little wrappers that go on a piece of bread, the little twist ties? Where you wrap, you wind those together. You can't tell which one is which, because it's bound together by twisting. In other words, we would use this word today, interwoven. When we are bound together with God, we're just all, God and I are all wrapped up in each other. I'm wrapped up in Him and He's wrapped up in me, and we're interwoven together. It says those who wait, those who are bound together, those who are interwoven with the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Doesn't that sound awesome? There's a great verse in Daniel chapter 10 where the prophet Daniel had some encounters, had had some experiences, had even a vision of I believe it was the Lord and or an angel of God. It was a very powerful experience. And it was such a powerful experience, it just... The Bible doesn't say he was slain in the spirit, but it talks about how all strength went out of him. And you know, sometimes when we encounter God, He wants us to see where we would be without Him. And so that we can come to a place of complete and total reliance upon Him. You know, in the book of Revelation, when John saw Jesus, it says he fell at His feet like a dead man. He just had an overwhelming, overawe experience. And Daniel seems to have had kind of the same thing. But then what happens in Daniel 10:18, the 18th verse of the 10th chapter of Daniel, it says, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, 'O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong.'" Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened. There is a strength that comes when God ministers an inspired word into your heart. And maybe there are some people here that just need to hear God say to you, "Fear not." You need to hear Him say that in your spirit. "Fear not. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will provide for you. I will care for you. I will heal you. I will deliver you." We need to hear God speak those words into our spirit. He said, when He spoke to me, I was strengthened. And He said, and Daniel said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." I want you to know there is strength in God. We talked about not being afraid to acknowledge your weakness before God. And remember that statement by D.L. Moody, "God sends no one away empty except for the person who is full of himself." If you go to God with a full container, there's nothing for Him to do because you've already, "God, I'm full." But when you go to God and say, "God, I need you," He's not offended by that. He's motivated by that. There's a great verse in Hebrews 11:34. It's talking about the exploits of faith. You know, one thing we need to be very careful about is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Fear also comes by hearing, but not the Word of God, the Word of the enemy. And the enemy's trying to roar in the earth today. Do you realize that? Disease, Ebola, ISIS. The enemy's trying to roar. But I'll tell you what, he will never outroar the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible says in the book of Daniel, those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. So I'm not looking for a hole to crawl into. I'm looking for a mountain to climb on. And it says in Hebrews 11:4, talking about people of faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Now look at this next phrase. Out of what? Out of weakness were made strong. A lot of times before we can move into a position of strength, we've got to acknowledge, "God, I'm weak. I'm weak." but in you there is strength. It says, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I love the way the Phillips version renders this. It says, from being weaklings, they became strong men and mighty warriors. From being weaklings, they became strong men and mighty warriors. Now, there's another verse in Hebrews, just back a few chapters, Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 15. And this is something that we need to understand. Sometimes believers get under condemnation. I want you to know, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you wallowing in shame, in guilt, inferiority. Say, yeah, but I'm not doing as good as I should. I said, God does not want you wallowing in guilt, in shame, or inferiority. Because when you have guilt and shame and inferiority and condemnation, it's because you're focusing more on your deficiency than on His sufficiency. Did you hear that? And God wants us to focus. We have to acknowledge our deficiency, but we have to focus on His sufficiency. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You say, I'm tired. Jesus was tired. You say, but I'm facing this temptation. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. Whatever, you say, I'm under a lot of pressure right now. Are you serious? Jesus was under a lot of pressure. He knows He can sympathize with our weaknesses. This is a double negative. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. That means we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. I think the regular King James says He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows where you hurt. He knows where you're weak. He knows where you're battling fear. He knows where you're battling anxiety. You don't need to hide it. You don't need to feel condemned about it. It says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore do what? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't that amazing? When you have a problem in your life, when you have a weakness in your life, you don't need to run away from God or be ashamed and hide from God. Did you know when you confess a fault before God is not when He found out about it? He knew about it all along. We don't confess a problem so God will find out about it. We confess a problem so that we can come into agreement with God about whatever the issues are, so that we can ditch the problem and grab the answer. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Anybody here ever need some mercy in your life? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for His mercy and forgiveness and restoration, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, I'm thinking of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I always hesitate to refer to anything in the Greek with Pastor Jan sitting here because he knows that inside and out. But Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that many people would think would be a negative confession. They would, well, I wouldn't say that, that's negative. Well, a lot of times before you can move into the positive, you've got to deal with the negative. We don't live in denial as Christians. If we have a problem, we don't pretend we don't. We acknowledge the problem so that we can move away from the problem to the answer. And Paul here made a statement about his time in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:3. He said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Do you know that was not a good time in Paul's life? That was a rough day. Anybody here ever have a rough day? It's a rough day. And this is the part Pastor Jan, we can talk about it at lunch. You can correct me or or help me out. But I believe the Greek there says, where it says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I believe the Greek language says, I fell into a state. I mean, he hadn't been doing bad, but just all of a sudden he fell into a state of weakness, fear, and much trembling. And so we need to understand the guy who had the greatest New Testament revelation of all, the Apostle Paul, still had a moment where he fell into weakness. He fell into fear. He fell into much trembling. We don't know exactly what it was that triggered that. Have you ever had a trigger? You're doing pretty good and all of a sudden you just fall into a situation where you're not doing as good. Well, listen, here's what I want you to know. God has strength for our journey. He will give strength to the weak. He gives power to the might. He will speak and we will be strengthened because He wants us to be strong, not in ourselves. He wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to talk to you this morning, and we're going to pick up whenever we get done here this morning. We'll just pick right up here tonight. But I want to talk to you about how God wants to be with you in all seasons of your life. In all seasons. At all points of experience. There was a time, and you might turn in your Bibles back to 1 Kings chapter 20. There was a time in Israel's history when they had defeated the Syrian army in battle. Now, you know what's interesting is we're seeing the Middle East as a major hot spot today. Pastor Jan and I were in Turkey together last March, March of 2013. I've preached in the West Bank in Israel to a Palestinian church. We're seeing all kinds of things going on right now with Iraq and Iran, Syria. Here's the Syrian army back in the Old Testament days. A lot of times in the Bible, when we read about the Babylonian Empire, that was based in modern-day Iraq. When we read about the Persian Empire, that was based in modern-day Iran. All of the things that were hot spots in Bible days, guess what? Bible days are here again. And Israel had just defeated the Syrian army in 1 Kings 20, 22. And it says, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, go strengthen yourself. Isn't that awesome? Strengthen yourself. Well, there's a time when we allow God to strengthen us, but there's a time when we strengthen ourselves. You take the Word of God and speak encouragement to yourself. You take the promises of God and remind yourself. You make the decision, I'm going to quit wallowing in self-pity. I'm going to reject this negativity. I'm going to get out of this pessimism. I'm going to strengthen myself. Now, we still do it with God's help. And this probably had, you know, kind of military, natural connotations. Go strengthen yourself, take note, and see what you should do. For in the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. Now, isn't that something? God gave the king of Israel notice that they were going to face an enemy attack. Now, there are some Christians, listen to me very carefully, there are some Christians who think, if I love God and serve God and believe God, I'll never face an attack. Seriously? You know, Pastor Jan, when I was a Rhema student, I was 20 years old. I was so intelligent back then. I knew so much. It's a shame I wasn't teaching you when I was 20 years old, because I knew way more than I do now. I was pretty well omniscient then, and it's amazing how little I know today at 55 compared to how much I knew when I was 20. You know what I'm talking about. And I remember Brother Hagin got up and told us as a student body, he said, the crises of life come to us all. And I remember sitting there, I just folded my arms, and I said, I can't believe, Brother Hagin, that you just made such a negative statement. That's just doubt and unbelief. And I said, you know, brother, I just to myself, thank God I didn't say it to anybody else. I said, well, Brother Hagin, I said, you know, you're pretty smart about a lot of things, but you just don't know on that one. The crises of life come to us all. And then a couple years later, a major minister at that era, at that time, came out with a book that said, the title of the book was, Ready or Not, Here Comes Trouble. And I looked at that, I said, that's terrible that he'd write a book like that. That's so full of unbelief. But you know, listen, I when I grew up and matured and learned a little bit, I found out that's true. The crises of life do come to us all. Ready or not, here comes trouble. God was giving them a heads up. You say, God will tell you when trouble is coming? Yeah, He'll warn you. The Bible doesn't say no weapon will be formed against you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It's assumed that weapons are going to be formed against you. One time a man came to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin was praying for people in a prayer line. And he stopped and said, how can I pray for you? And that man said to Brother Hagin, well, I want you to pray that I'll never face another problem from the devil. And Brother Hagin said, okay, so you want me to pray that you'll die. And the man said, oh, no. And Brother Hagin said, well, the only way you're never going to face another problem is just go on to heaven. That's the only place where there's no problems. So Brother Hagin had to instruct him. The Bible doesn't promise us a trouble-free life. The Bible says that He will be with us in trouble. The Bible says He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. So the prophet came and said, next spring, Syria is going to attack you. You get ready. Did you ever wonder why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God? He understood. We face attacks in this life. How many figured out this ain't heaven down here? But anyway, at the same time that the prophet of God was advising the king of Israel to get ready for battle, at the same time, in the next verse, 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23, it says, then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods, meaning the gods of Israel, see, everybody, they all thought that there were all these different gods. Well, Israel didn't have gods. Israel had a God. The God. The Most High God. The Creator of heaven and earth God. And everything else was a false God. But they had all these little regional gods, you know, this God here, that God here. They were all false, but Syria didn't understand that. So here's what the Syrian advisor said. Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, in the flat area, surely we will be stronger than they. See, they miscalculated, they underestimated God, the God of Israel. And they said, well, their gods, plural, are the gods of the hills. And since they'd fought them in the hills last time and the Syrians lost, they said, well, we fought them up where their gods were powerful. But if we get down in the plains, then their gods won't be able to help them. Well, it's very interesting how this evolves. When spring rolled around, the Syrians were ready to attack Israel. And this is what we read in verse 28, 1 Kings 20, 28. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you will know that I am the Lord. They thought He was the God of the hills. But He wasn't the God of the plains, nor was He the God of the valleys. And God said, because they think that way, I'm just going to whip them wherever. So they're going to know, you're going to know that I am the Lord. See, they believed, it was a common belief among the heathen, that gods, plural, were territorial. There would be the god of this river, the god of this forest, the god of this mountain and all that. And they believed that the influence of each god was restricted, limited in range, like a radio station. You know, you drive far enough and you're out of range of that station. They believed that the God of Israel was limited in range, limited in influence, limited in ability, limited in power. They said their God is the God of the hills, but not the God of the plains or the valleys. I love what Deuteronomy chapter 33 or 32 verse 31, it says, their rock is not like our rock. Their false God is not like our true God. See, our God is not limited in range, limited in ability, limited in influence. Our God is the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the world and those who dwell therein. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1 says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. I'm not here today just to establish the fact that God has a claim on the entire earth geographically, or that He's the God of the entire universe. God's reign in our lives, in your life, in my life, is comprehensive. God wants to rule and reign and influence and affect every area of our lives. 24/7, 365, God wants to be God of every part of who we are. He doesn't just want to be God of your church life. He doesn't just want to be God from Sunday morning from 10:30 to noon. He wants to be God of your social life, your personal life, your thought life, your family life, your vocation, your health, your finances, your habits. God wants to be wall-to-wall God in your life. There was one of these goofy talk shows a few years ago, daytime talk shows, and the host was having a program called Affairs with Married Men. And the host had on some ladies that were having affairs with men, married men, to get their thoughts on it. And one of the ladies who was having an affair with the married man brought up the fact of her faith. And somebody from the audience just got on their case and said, well, wait a minute, you're a Christian and you're having an affair? What's the deal? And the lady on the platform got very defensive, and this is what she said. She said, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, but I want everyone to know that my personal life and my religion don't interfere with one another. And then she went on to say this, I believe in a God who wants me to be happy. And if this man makes me happy, then God approves of the relationship. That's not a biblical view. That's called hedonism, where pleasure is the end result and is the ultimate judge of whether something is, you know, right or wrong. Listen, we don't serve a God of pleasure. We serve the God of heaven. And I'm happy to say this morning that my personal life and my religion do interfere with one another. If Jesus is really Lord, see, Jesus is Lord is not some secret password just to get you into heaven. Jesus is Lord is a declaration that you have submitted and surrendered your life, everything that you have and everything that you are, to the influence of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God, And that means that your religion, for lack of a better term, has every right to interfere with every part of your personal life. God wants us to acknowledge God in every area. I want to read this passage from the New Living Translation. We're talking about strength for the journey. And one of the ways that we get strength for the journey is just to get God infused in every area of our life. Let His Spirit permeate every part of us. Let His Word dominate us. And Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1 in the New Living Translation. I want you to know this morning, God has not forgotten you. There may be people in here today that are saying, man, God, I just need your touch real bad. It just seems, God, like you're distant. It just seems, God, like, you know, I had some great experiences with you in the past, but I don't know where you've been lately. Let me tell you where God is. Psalm 139, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Lord, you both precede me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. If I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. That's where God is. He's with you. Let me tell you just some real simple things about God's presence this morning. Number one, God is for you. Say this out loud. God is for me. Romans 8, 31 through 32 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What's the point there? If God is for us, God is for you. God is for me. And if He didn't withhold Jesus from us, then what would He withhold? He's already given us His very best. And you know what? He gave us His very best when we were at our very worst. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So God is for us. Say, God is for me. Number two, God is with you. He's with you. He just isn't with us when the worship team is singing and the Word is being preached. He's with us in those bad times. Like David said, if I dwell among the dead, you're still with me. He was with Joseph in jail. He was with Jonah in the belly of the fish. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And He was with Paul and Silas in prison at the midnight hour. God is with us. And we don't mean that He's just there as a passive spectator watching you get the daylights beat out of you. He's with us. And here's what Psalm 91:15 says. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Say, He's with me. Not only is He for us and in us, for us and with us, but He's also in us. He's in us. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. When you see the world falling apart, when you see the world's foundations crumbling, when you see people of the world falling into fear and anxiety, you can say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. When Jesus came to live, when the Holy Ghost came to be on the inside of you, He did not strip Himself of His glory, His power, His wisdom, or His might. He is in you in full strength. He's not there in some diluted, weakened, or condensed form. Everything He is in you. God is for you. God is with you. God is in you. And let me give you this. He is upon you. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's upon you. And that's not all. He's beside you. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. If He's holding your right hand, then He's beside you. He's beneath you. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Underneath of you are the everlasting arms of God. He is beneath you. And number 7, He's before you and behind you. Isaiah 52:12 says, for the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the Lord God of Israel will protect you from behind. It's true that you and I have the great privilege of responding to God's gracious invitation to come into His presence. And that's something we need to do as a conscious decision to remove ourselves from the distractions and the other things that steal and rob our attention and focus. But it's important to remember that not only are we called to come into His presence as a conscious decision, but we need to understand that He is always in our presence. He's for me. Say, He's for me. He's with me. He's in me. He's upon me. He's beside me. He's beneath me. He goes before me. And He is behind me. You say, Brother Cook, it just sounds like God's everywhere in my life, that I'm completely saturated with God, and that no matter which direction I look, I'm in this God bubble, and He's with me, and you're telling me that it's always gonna be that way. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I'll tell you what, when we understand that, we're gonna have strength for the journey. Now tonight when we come back, we're going to pick up with this theme, the God of the hills, the God of the plains, and the God of the valleys. And we're going to talk about what does it mean when we're on the hill? What are the mountaintops? Anybody here ever been in a mountaintop with God? But anybody here ever been in the valley? How is God with us in the valley? And what about the plains? The mundane day-to-day, just ordinary, take out the trash, fill up the car with gas. He's with you in the plains too. That's what we're going to talk about. But I want you to know, God has strength for your journey. You may be facing weakness. You may have fallen into a state of weakness, fear, and trembling like Paul. I'll tell you what, we don't need to run away from God. We just need to run to God. And He'll give strength to the weak. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You right now. Let's just lift up our hands and just soak, saturate for a moment in His presence. Father, we just saturate ourselves with You. We invite You to flood every area of our life. We invite You to flood our bodies with Your healing power. We invite You to flood our minds with your peace and with Your joy. Father, we just thank You for the overwhelming, overshadowing light that surrounds us and fills us and undergirds us and goes before us. Father, if You are for us, then it really doesn't matter who would ever be against us. And Father, I am confident for Your people that no weapon formed against Your people will ever prosper. And that, Father, You're going to give us victory. You're even going to give us wisdom about things like You did the king of Israel. You said, get ready because next spring this is going to happen. So, Father, we thank You that when You alert us to things, it's not so that we will be fearful, but it's so that we would be building our faith and being prepared and being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And Father, I just thank You this morning that You infuse Your people with the strength of God. And that, Father, we will leave this place with a spring in our step, with a song in our heart, because we know that Jesus is Lord. And that You are the greater One who lives and dwells on the inside of us. Father, we want to thank You for Your presence, Your life-giving presence in our lives today. And we receive it, we partake of it, and Father, we just thank You for filling us to the point of overflowing. And Father, today I just pray that any needs that are in this place right now, that healing would flow in this place right now, that peace would flow in this place. And Lord, we choose right now to lay aside fear. We choose right now to lay aside anxiety. We choose right now to lay aside oppression. And Father, we exchange that, whatever that negative thing is, Lord, we exchange it for Your peace, for Your strength, for Your joy. And Lord, we receive Your presence in the fullness of our being. And Lord, we thank You that we'll never, ever be the same after today. And Lord, we want to thank You for it. And Father, let me just, I want to pray for you right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there may be some folks here today that you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're here today and you've never given Jesus lordship, maybe you're like I was. I grew up in a church and I believed in God, believed in Jesus. But if you'd said, Tony, do you know for sure that if you were to pass away right now, if you were to die, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? To be honest, I didn't know. I hoped I would go to heaven. I hoped I would go to heaven because, well, I've tried to be a good person and I've gone to church and, you know, things like that. But listen, I'm so thankful somebody loved me enough to tell me, Tony, it's not about how good you are. You can't be good enough to make it into heaven. It's not about, you can't be perfect enough. You can't be religious enough. Somebody loved me enough to tell me, Tony, forgiveness is the key. You have to be forgiven. You have to, Jesus died for your sins on the cross. And it's not when you try hard. It's not when you act religious. It's not when you join. It's not anything you do. It's what He did. Jesus died for you. He shed His blood for you. He rose from the dead. And Jesus is alive today and He's offering every person the gift of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. And maybe you're here today and you're like I was. You were trusting in yourself, hoping you'd been good enough. And maybe there's people here today that think, man, I've done too many wrong things. God could never forgive me. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. But God is a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on us. He offers us the gift of eternal life. He offers us the gift of forgiveness. And if you're here today, I want to pray for you. If that's you, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe you did at one time, but man, you've been away from God. You've been totally like the prodigal son. You've gone off your own direction. You're not living for yourself anymore. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And I'm going to do three things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up in just a minute. Let me know that's you. Number two, I'm going to ask everybody in this whole place to stand up. And number three, I'm going to ask those that want prayer for this to just come and let me pray with you right here. If that's you, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you did it one time and you've run away from God, you've been away from God, you need to radically come back home today. On the count of three, let me see your hand. One, two, three. Let me see your hand if that's you. All over this place. I'm looking all over. Thank you for that hand right there. The young lady there. I'm looking all over. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. There's two hands I've seen. Are there others that want to join these just in a life revolutionizing moment of beginning a journey, a walk with God by just turning away from your old life and coming to God today? I've seen two hands so far. Let me just ask if there's any others. If not, let's everybody stand up. Those two that raised their hand, if you would come, and let me just pray with you right here. And let's give them a hand as they come. And I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, hey, would you, do you need to go down there? I'll walk down there with you if you need to come. Turn and do that. And ma'am, did you want to come and let us pray? Ma'am, if you would slip out of where you are, we're going to pray exactly like we said we're going to do. Don't you love the Lord Jesus? Aren't you glad for God and His mercy, His grace, His goodness? Thank you so much for coming. And thank you, sir, for coming as well. God bless you. I'm so glad you all have come. Listen, I want you to know that God loves us so much that if we had been the only ones that had messed up in life or needed forgiveness in life, Jesus would have died if it was just one of us. If it was just you, if it was just you. But God loves us so much that Jesus died for every single one of us, because all of us have needed God's mercy, His forgiveness, His grace. And He loves you so much. He loves us so much that Jesus did. He lived, He died, He went to the cross, and He took the punishment that our sins deserve. And He shed His blood so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a brand new life, a brand new relationship with God. And the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, that's what Jesus said, whoever comes to me, He said, I will never cast out, I will never reject. And so I want you to know God's love for you is sure. And all I'm asking you to do is just pray with me. And in this prayer, it's nothing magic about the specific words. It's just, we're just giving our heart to God. And He's going to receive you. And you're going to start a brand new life today. I want everybody in this whole place to pray with us. But this is especially for you guys. Just close your eyes and just say this from your heart. Say, dear God, I come to you right now. And I thank you for Jesus. I believe that you love me so much that Jesus died on the cross for me. He shed His blood so that I could be forgiven. And Jesus, I believe that you are alive right now. You're offering me the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. And Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I accept every gift you're giving me. And I give you all of my life and all of my heart today. I turn away from my entire past and I give you my whole self. Make me new. Thank you for giving me a new start and a new beginning today. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. And I thank you that you are my God. I am your child. I'm accepted I am loved and I am cleansed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you ladies will look at me real quick, I'm a guest here, so I'm not here all the time, but I know this, there's a whole lot of really friendly looking people right behind you. And I'm going to take a sneaking guess that they're going to spend a minute with you, and they probably have some materials, some things to put in your hand that you can take with you today that'll help you grow. I want you to know this, what you've done today is not taking your final step. What you've done today is you've taken the first step. You're going to walk with God all the days of your life, and He's going to walk with you all the days of your life. So maybe just turn around, meet some of these friendly people behind you, and they're probably going to ask you to go with them somewhere. Why don't you go with them right now? And isn't it awesome to see people giving their lives and their hearts to God? You can go ahead and be seated in the congregation. To me, that's what makes it all worthwhile, is to see folks getting squared away with God. How many of you are glad that the Lord is the strength of your life and you're not going through this journey alone at all? I want you to come back tonight. We're going to have a great, great time. We're going to talk about the hills, the plains, the valleys, And even if you don't think, I don't need that much. No, but you need to get this so that you can give it to somebody else this week. We need to not just have enough to get by. We need to have an overflow so that we've got a lot left to give others. Real quickly, Pastor Jan was so kind to mention our books and materials. Can we go ahead and pop those pictures on the screen? Those are the books that he mentioned. You can get them individually. You can get them as a packet. You can also, how many of you read e-books these days? You read on Kindle, and all those are available on all the e-book options. Can we put the next slide up, in addition to the books? We have here what I'm holding in my hand. It's real small. This, plugs into your computer, and it has 126 hours of teaching on it. And you can download it to your iPods, your MP3 players. Most of the new vehicles have a USB drive. It's like buying 126 CDs, except it's all just on this one little device. And then the next slide, on this same type of device, we have some videos that go with the books. If you like the Grace book, Through the Storms, or Dream Team, you can buy a little device like this, and it will have anywhere from 8 to 10 video lessons on it, and things of that nature. And finally, last but not least, is my daughter's worship materials. The new one that she has is called Seven Song. It's the one in the middle. And what she did was she put the gospel, the story of the Bible, into seven songs. Creation, the fall of man, Advent, life and death of Jesus, resurrection, salvation, and eternity. It's really, we call it a worship album. It's really an evangelistic album. I jokingly say you can get saved 50 times listening to that music. It is so powerful. It's so loaded with scripture and tells the story of redemption. And the very cool thing is that, you know, this is in English, of course, here, but she's working on Arabic translations, Chinese, Russian, French. She's getting all people she knows from her travels are helping translate it. It's going into all these languages. She's targeting the communists and the Muslim nations as an evangelistic outreach. So just want to let you be aware. Play a little bit of that tonight for you. But I'm going to turn this to Pastor Jan. I think Pastor Jan and Sue are some of the most wonderful people I know. You've got wonderful pastors here, a wonderful team. And Pastor Jan, I sure love you. God bless you.
Praise God. Well, are you ready to bless? Are you ready to bless? Amen. It's money well invested. Hallelujah. And we know that if each and every one of you listen to God, you'll give what is necessary for His ministry. And we're looking forward to this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, now as we receive an offering for our wonderful friend that has brought a wonderful gift to us in a timely need for every one of us. So, Father, today is a given to Tony Cook's ministry. Father, may they see the value of the precious gift that they give into, because it'll reach many in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. While you're doing that, I was sitting there and I was thinking as you were preaching that message, I hope he brings up Psalms 139. And you did. I was so excited about it. I've taught Psalms 139 to you. Do you know that that's a Psalm of David? And did you know that David was a man after God's own heart? And you know, he gave the secret to his success. He said, Father, reach on in the inside of me. And if there's any evil within me, remove it. Boy, he had an honest heart before God. You brought that out in your sermon today. How many of you really enjoyed that message this morning? You know, as Tony was sharing that message, the Lord spoke to me and said, I have put it on my servant's heart to bring you that message today. And he says, you tell my people it is imperative that they be here this evening. Do not allow your physical being to talk you out of being in a place where the Holy Spirit wants to speak to every one of your heart. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love to be refreshed and reminded what he shared today about our journey. The road of time will always tell you what you're made up of. And so I want to encourage, please, come out this evening and listen to what Tony is going to bring to us. It's very important, very important. Your flesh will remain here long after you've gone home with the Lord. So it's important that you do respect to the Holy Spirit. Come back and let the Holy Spirit finish the message for you. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, wow, the Lord just spoke to me. Stand up, everybody. Wow. Okay, Lord. We're going to dismiss. The Lord told me that if there are any of you here that would like to come down to the altar and kneel and talk to the Father after what the Lord had spoke to your heart through the message today, take time to do that. So when I dismiss, please feel free to come down and kneel at the altar and communicate with Him. When I was going to the Assembly of God Church years ago when we first say, remember how, Sue, we look forward to the time at the altar. And you know, more churches need to consider the altar, because this is where you will take time out of your busy schedule to kneel and respond to the word that was given you this morning. So right now, let's bow our heads. We'll get ready to dismiss, and you feel free to come and kneel at the altar. And ushers, make sure that people are away from those that come to the altar. If they want to talk or communicate, go out in the foyer. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, right now as we close this service, we want to give time and respect to your wonderful people for the message that was spoken in their heart today. Father, may they feel free to come and meet with you at the altar and talk with you concerning the message that they so desperately needed in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and using a vessel to bring forth the mind and will of God for us today. And also for this evening as you complete it in Jesus' name. Okay, you're dismissed. Those of you who'd like to come and kneel at the altar, feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed, because that has nothing to do with being ashamed or anything. But if you know that you need to communicate with your Heavenly Father and talk to Him about what was preached today, feel free to come forward. Hallelujah.